Previously on Imagine Dungeons.
Your pal here, his soul has been split. I don't know how much you know about Gatherhold, but they have a lot of spirit doctors there, and I think they might be able to help him back. All of the water that has coated you freezes you, and you wake up.
That went great.
You wouldn't happen to be dealing in weapons.
Of a sort. He is investing in
his own security.
Powerful defenders for the future, or aggressors. Jody great. Previously told you that the Wyvern Riders are involved in this discussion.
Thank you. Okay.
I found out where the elemental is to repair my airship. If we can repair my ship, I might have a getaway vehicle for everyone. Deep in the swamps, there's a place called the Steam. I went to go look, and there is surely an elemental in there. What wakes you up is you cast Gust of Wind on your hammock and it goes flying and you fall on the ground.
Great.
Twisted up like a cocoon.
He's going to stand up and kind of like brush himself off a little bit. Did anybody notice?
Probably not. Everybody was in an exhaustion sleep.
Yeah, so I was going to say, I was like, I don't think I've got any eyes open. I'm out.
I'm going to take my pack off and use it as a pillow on the ground. Is there a spare hammock? I'm going to hop in a spare hammock. It might take me a couple tries again.
You have a sleeping roll?
Yeah, we'll just do that. We'll get in a sleeping bag on the floor.
Did Ramshackle say anything about the dreams and visions making like actual players go insane?
Ridley, on the other side of the pavilion, you are having a somewhat similar sleeping experience. When you go in there to like get some shut eye, you see that your boy Genbu is there to greet you, and he's like, "Hey, how's it going, player? I heard some rumbling from out there. That must be good news, huh?"
Yeah, I got news, Genbu. I don't know about good. It's a mixed bag. Gage, am I tired in here too?
Right now you are. But since time works differently here, you'll be able to get your shut eye as well.
Okay. How are things in here for you?
Great. Was in the middle of trying to start a new form of yoga. was practicing my punches. You know,
is there turtle pose? Does turtle pose exist?
It's just crouched in a ball. Yeah,
crouching turtle, hidden turtle.
Whoa, y'all! Turtle pose is nuts. Actually, if you look up turtle pose, that's crazy.
What? I can't do that.
That's crazy.
Wait, right. No.
Oh my god.
Kermansa. Yeah,
Genbu shows you that. That's what he's doing.
Genbu,
for those listening, it's...
I know that you are...
It's pretty impressive.
I know you're thousands of years old, but this is very impressive.
You know?
Like what?
Thousands of years old and, you know, every day is like 1,000 years. So you got a lot of time to practice.
I feel like everyone has to try this before we get off this phone call.
No. So to open, we rolled dice that said... likelihood of shitting our pants on a call. Nobody told me that I had to do turtle pose.
Sue did roll a 4, so maybe this is how it happens.
I would say it raises your odds.
Genbu's like, so my boy's a dragon slayer now?
That's right.
My boy is a dragon slayer. Welcome to the club.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for the remarkable steam pressure. That worked out well. And you got, I don't know how we could do it, but you got to meet Sue. She was instrumental. Can I, that's a good question. If I like hold somebody's hand, can they come into this like God shell now or?
I don't think so. I think it's a personal thing, but you know, I've never tried it, but you know, the downside is that if it doesn't, then they're going to be cramped up in your shell.
Yeah. Yeah. That
with your physical body.
Yeah. That's a lot of, explaining. More Q's than A's on that one.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So hey, Genbu, it's great to have you here. I have done a little bit of thinking and realized that I may have been a little bit too lackadaisical with my earlier greetings. I'm starting to think that maybe you are a god of some sort, and so for that, I do apologize. Part two of this paragraph is, Genbu, I am so tired. Is there a way, do I still get body sleep when we chat in here?
So you can go over there. I've made you a little bed out of sand and you can sleep. You know, I can turn the lights off or whatever over there. And then when you wake up, we got a lot of training to do, you know.
Sounds great.
The God stuff is up for debate, but while we're here together and while I'm not alone in this void, I figure we'd do something productive.
Awesome. I am a shellless Ridley is going to make his way over to the sand and lay down and say, all right, I'm going to get however much shut-eye I am allowed to get in this new arrangement, and then I'll be ready to rock.
He snaps his fingers, and you are surrounded by a cloud of darkness.
Perfect.
In, like, a comfortable way?
Don't know. How do you feel about it, Ridley?
Well, I can't, you know, Ridley casts some mist around himself to navigate some shady deals. So I think he's okay with it. It's a little off-putting, but it is nice that he can't see my shellless body anymore.
When you eventually wake up, he has two massive swords, one in each hand.
Okay.
He's like, it's time to show you my shellosophy. Oh my God. And then he proceeds to show you forms of dual-wielding large weapons. So that is your long rest.
Amazing.
When everybody wakes up, it is... the sun is going down outside. You can take off your exhaustion levels.
Never put it on.
When you emerge from your little pavilion here, you see that there are wyverns flying around the airship overhead. Jody is tending to her garden in front of her cottage. And everybody seems to not be concerned, just doing their chores, going about their lives. Snaps, you can see him, is just kind of exploring around the the pastures and stuff.
There is a phrase that, eat the frog, which is this idea that when you have something really terrible that you need to do, you should do it right away and get it done first. And so Ridley, seeing that maybe there's a window to go and talk to Snaps, rolls his shoulders, just big sigh, and walks over to talk to him about Swill.
When you approach, he's like, ah, finally you're up, sleepyhead. What happened to Rise and Grind, huh?
Yeah, you got me there. You know, one day in, how old are you? 26?
I'm 13.
Yeah, one day in 13 years. You're 13?
Yeah.
Ridley's mind has changed slightly on Snaps. He's actually got a little bit more proud. Yeah, one day in 13 years, you beat me to it, and I'm proud of you, kid. Listen, do you got a quick second?
Yeah, I can finish what I'm doing here. And he just puts a rock back on the ground.
Yeah, that is a really good place for that. Love that intuition. About your dad. So, good news, we found him.
Oh, where was he holed up this time?
Well, I'd give him a little credit here. I don't think he was, this was his desire or his doing, but we found him in a camp of, get this, were-crocodiles. Pretty cool.
Were-crocodiles?
Did you kill them? Were-crocodiles. We did kill some of them. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Pretty cool. We also killed a dragon. We can talk about that in a little bit.
A dragon?
Yeah. Yeah, and the boogeyman. This is starting to sound like maybe I just had a few drinks up there on the pavilion by myself.
My dad says that there's nothing wrong with having a couple drinks on the pavilion by yourself, that it's normal, and that everybody's dad does that.
Well, he's not totally wrong. Sorry.
Hey, okay, so that's the great news. He's back. Here's the deal, Snaps. He's got something. He needs a little bit of medical attention, okay? I want you to know I'm not worried. You don't need to be worried. We got a plan, and I know exactly where we're going to take him. It's just going to take us some time, but I've got every confidence in the world from all the brains that are way smarter than me that he's going to be all right. But when you see him, Snaps, he may not know who you are for a little bit.
Oh, okay. Well, and he starts fidgeting with his hat. Well, maybe this is a good thing that, you know, I'll get to spend some time with him while he recovers, and I can reintroduce myself, and I can teach him how to make nachos, and we'll see what happens from there.
I that is a better plan than I could have hoped to come up with. I think that is a fantastic idea, Snaps. Look, I don't want you to feel like you have any responsibility here, okay? You do what feels right for you. We got it from here. If you're feeling up to it, one thing I do know that your dad needs is to eat just about as many nachos as you can make for him. And he's not going to remember to do that by himself. So he could use your help there.
Okay, yeah. Okay, well, I'll go ask Jody for some corn, and I'll start baking some chips, and we can see, you know. Rise and grind. We got work to do, right?
Rise and grind. What the Fontinas always say at the marina, apparently.
Rise and grind.
And rise and grind to you, sir.
To those who celebrate.
Under his grind.
Rise and grind, uncle.
And so Snaps starts walking towards the kitchen.
Ridley straightens the rock where Snaps put it. He's like, you know what? It's actually a great place to put a rock.
So it seems that this conference is happening as you guys are waking up. From what you have understood from the conversations from Mezcal, Cornelius, what Jody said, it sounds like this will take some time for them to land on some common ground. What would you like to do from here?
Is this the kind of thing that we need to be around while it's happening? Do we know, or is there a way to figure that out? Do I have to need to do that in story?
You haven't been invited.
Okay.
And so, if you wanted to, you know, Jody said there's a possibility you could barter for it, but it seems like his conversation with the Wyverns has to happen first before you can barter for. Like, it doesn't seem like it is his yet. He has to get the sign off from the Wyvern Riders.
Our other option seems to be go get the elemental so that we can get away when and if we steal the egg.
Mm-hmm. So that is the fork at the crossing that you're facing. Is, are you going to steal it or are you going to try to barter for it?
Oh, I'm going to steal it.
Okay, so I guess we got to go get this elemental that I don't know about because I was asleep when this happened. I'm just realizing in character that I don't have this information. So what do we do? Says Fiddles, well, the first time he's talked.
It's great that you remembered that because it so happened that Blindo came down and happened to be listening in, and he offered to help us get on out of here. He'd heard us talking about the egg. He said if we can get down there and help him with the elemental to fix his ship, then that's our getaway vehicle. So we might have to, can't tell yet. Maybe we try both of these options, have a barter crew and a elemental crew, or we just all hang together. I'm not totally sure.
Is it not like incredibly obvious if we disappear on an airship after their egg mysteriously disappears?
Yeah, but I think we're used to running. Maybe the people chasing us will just run into each other.
And, like, work together to chase us even harder, because that's what I'm worried about.
Don't forget.
Yeah, sure, that's always an option.
Do you think that the Kraken could reach the sky?
I don't know.
The good news is that you have an infinite use Kraken whistle.
We do.
That's true. Yeah.
That wet whistle.
We could use the Kraken.
We haven't summoned our crack ain't lacking, you know.
To boost our airship, like super speed.
Launch it like a fastball special.
Like when they do the scroll wheel jumping in Dune Eternal.
Is the Kraken an elemental?
Yeah. It is not.
I think we should help Blindo with his airship, because even if we don't need it for a getaway vehicle, we still need to travel to Gatherhold for Swill to find a spirit doctor.
And for the children. Don't forget about
and for the children.
Well, airships are a young man's game. But we do feel a little bit landlocked here. I think it's a great plan. Also, we're going to roll more dice if we go for the elemental.
Unless we feel like these Wyvern Riders are the type of people that want to give a spunky startup group of ne'er-do-wells and hustlers a chance, then I think we got to go get this elemental and yoink this thing from that douche canoe.
Let's do it.
Yeah, before we do that, Fiddle, maybe we could be kind of keeping up with the goings-on while we're away. What's her name? She was in Moulin Rouge.
Oh,
Big Little Lies was pretty good.
Reese Witherspoon.
No.
Reese without a spoon.
Yeah, I can't. Eyes Wide Shut. She was married to that halfling for a while that was jumping on that couch. What was his name? Nicole. Yeah. Do you think, is there a way she can change and kind of hang out with old Lord Bart? Be in the area. I mean, there's enough animals around here. Maybe they wouldn't notice if we wanted to, you know, be a parrot on the wall or whatever they say.
That's what they say. Parrot on the wall. That's the saying.
Since I know technically I can't dismiss Nicole Kidman and resummon her as something else like instantaneously, but since we just woke up from a long rest, Gage, would you let me?
Yeah, you could. You could like a little bit switch her if it can't. Like, but what you couldn't do is like have her fly up there and then from, you know, a kilometer away, switch what she is, if that makes sense.
Oh, fly her above the Wyvern Riders, then turn her into like a walrus or something.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You can't do.
Like the I bet Gage would let you do that, dude. You should try it.
I'm going to have Nicole Kidman return to me. I will call her with like our heart call together, which Fiddles just like bunches himself up and into his hands like he's about to do like a whistle or something. He just says,
"Heartbeat feels good in a place like this."
And Nicole Kidman like shoots into the opening of the back of his hands like he's like inhaling her. And then he just whispers, "Gross. A little ugly ass spider, please." And then opens his hands, and a spider about the size of a half dollar crawls out. And Fiddles goes, "Ugh!" and throws Nicole Kidman onto the ground and goes, "Sorry,
It freaks me out every time, and I think you know that. I'm still getting used to all the things she can do. I like her as a dude, but as a celestial being, it's tough, you know. So Nicole, go keep an eye on the things they do. I'll check in with you. I don't want to hug right now. We'll hug when you're bird again. Thank you.
And then dismisses Nicole to go sneak in and hang out around the meeting unseen.
Don't spell any words in the web. They don't like that.
Oh, you should write some pig.
Some pig
above Cheddar.
Perfect.
Nicole Kidman, you can see her skittering off towards Jody in... seemingly unbeknownst to Jody, is attached to her shoe.
Gross.
And Jody, weirdly, casts fly on herself, and that manifests by wings growing out of her back. And Jody flies up to join the meeting.
Forgot that it was in the air, and I'm really glad Jody was still here for little spider to latch onto. Because I took Nicole's wings.
Spider's just on the ground, 200. Just
looking at me with just four arms up in the
Every
air,
time like, you check in, it's just a dot in the sky. Like what we would have known if one of us stayed back.
We can still see from the elemental.
600 yards under the meeting.
They're up there.
Totally forgot it was in the air.
On the mounts, you guys are able to make it to this area of the swamp where it is hot and humid and it smells gross, like rotting things that are decomposing quite quickly. And
I on the map, this is labeled Houston.
Oh, nice. You took it, you zigged when I thought you were going to zag, my friend.
And so you guys find yourself at the foot of this giant rock that is protruding from the ground. And there are these old stone doors that blend in. But thanks to Blendo's map, you're able to find out where they are disguised, carved into the stone.
Do you guys think this is a speak friend and enter type of situation?
We could try the handles. Anybody want to? I'll try the handles. I try the handles.
Yeah, when you try pushing the door, you hear it just like scraping on the stone underfoot. And you might need another hand from one of our burly companions, but you're able to push it open.
Sure.
Sue wants to walk up and say, hey, Fiddles, I think it's a pull. And she's going to help him pull the other way.
Opens easily.
Yes, thank you. Amazing retcon. We had to have that.
When you open these doors, you see this large entryway where there are these pillars that hold up the ceiling that have been carved to look like dwarves. And standing in the entryway is this serpentine salamander creature. There are stone benches and steaming water fountains that flank the room's perimeter. And then there are these copper figures in leather armor that somewhat resemble the stature of dwarves, except their heads are made of copper, like I said, and they're also on fire.
Oh.
You can roll an arcana or a nature check if you're interested in seeing what these creatures are.
I'm bad at both arcana. Of those.
Same.
11 plus 6, 17. Mm. Did I memorize this on the map too?
That's a 20, a crit.
Oh.
21.
Ooh.
13 plus 0 for Ridley.
Yeah. Glint, Ridley, Donnie, all three of you recognize what these creatures are. This in the middle, this serpentine.
They almost as much as me, though. I know their name.
You went to elementary school with them.
This serpentine figure in the middle is called a salamander, and it wields the spear. It has these tentacle-like, these long protruding tentacles that come out of its face. And Donnie, you would know that they are immune to fire damage, They are resistant to non-magical attacks. And they are vulnerable, so they take double damage from cold.
Okay.
These dwarf-like creatures are called Azers. You, Donnie, would know that they are from the elemental plane of fire and the are known as like the smiths of the gods. They tend to be found in forges. As you can imagine, they're also immune to fire, but also their bronze skin makes them immune to poison damage as well. As you walk in, this salamander slithering in the middle shouts at you,
"Who goes there, disturbing our processes?"
I'm not really the talker of the group, but we are here looking for a little bit of heat, a little bit of fire, maybe like a fire elemental. If you see one floating around, maybe.
That sounds too bad. So sad.
No. We're here as recruiters. We are looking for young, scrappy, and hungry fire elementals that are looking for an opportunity to make it big out there in the big world with an exciting job that will take them to the moon eventually.
Well, not a lie.
Roll a persuasion check.
And I am wearing a tie.
That's vanity.
You do have your tie.
That's
back.
What lets you make the persuasion check is the tie.
16 plus 4, a 20? A 20 for recruiting, Gage?
It slithers over to you.
Roll for recruiting.
And it is,
tell me more about this opportunity. One to see the heavens.
Yes. I'm happy to do that, and I will do so now. This is an opportunity to command a vessel of the skies.
The skies.
Using the power that comes so natural, birthed by the very elemental planes themselves, this fire elemental will feel right at home, using the full extent of their power to catapult a species so rare to our planet. That they were certain to have renown amongst the halls of Eberron and wherever, whatever you call these very nice, by the way, halls here.
Thank you. We conquered them ourselves.
Gorgeous.
This is a bit over my head, and perhaps you should speak to my lord and boss.
Lord and boss. Yeah.
Yes. And we will discuss.
Yeah, the Lord Boss.
And see if this is an opportunity of a lifetime or not.
Huh. Gage, did you say there are fountains on either side of this room?
Yes, they are emitting. The water is pouring into the basin and then immediately boiling.
Ooh. Gotcha. Fiddles is just going to like casually take a look around the room and just sort of like lean over and just bump the tip of the sword of transmutation against the water in the fountain.
Okay.
Sick.
The blade immediately starts, like it dissipates away. And the water vapor returning starts forming this very like dwarven forge like blade where there's a split in the middle. And there are little, they look like brass tubes in between the blades that are heating up the sword. And
oh my.
I will find an image for this because this is sick. God.
This is some steampunk.
Yes.
My God. Okay, it's obviously back in the scabbard to keep it chill. I was very cool about the whole thing, but
you just hear a high-pitched squeal from Fiddles.
Just
do you follow this salamander as it tries leading you towards?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we defo do.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's...
Can I roll a quick insight just to make sure we're not walking into a trap?
Yes, you can.
Okay, great.
You got persuaded.
I rolled a 20 on recruiting.
Well, yeah, but that's a 19 plus 6, 25 on insight.
It seems to be confident enough that if you start a fight with its boss, you will have a hard time leaving. But it is not, okay. It's not like leading you into an ambush or anything.
Great. Okay. I feel good about that.
Yeah. It's treating us the same way that I would treat like my 8-year-old nephew if he was like, I got a surprise for you. It's not like I'd be like, whoa, there, partner. What's that surprise? It's just like, all right. I mean, okay. Whatever. Okay. Sounds good.
So it leads you through the room. It kind of gives you a little bit of a tour. So when you enter the next room, it's like,
this is our meeting room. And we have stone chairs. We're working on creating cushions, but we...
Fiddles covers his eyes.
Burn everything that we touch.
Did you? Glint tries really hard not to memorize this room.
Wait, did you say meeting or mating?
Yes, for a meeting for conferences. The mating happens in the forge.
Yeah.
I thought you said mating.
No, Fiddles pulls his hands back
down. We all thought that you were doing a downstairs kiss in this room.
The salamander, the A is, it's a little, sound more like a hard A than a double E. It's fine. I rolled pretty high. I can tell you about that later.
The walls in this conference room are stacked with like cookware and other common household items. There's an oven on the east wall. And although it's latched, it is rattling violently like something is inside and wants to burst free. And
that's our elemental.
The salamander's like, don't mind him. He's in a timeout.
What'd he do?
He doesn't get along too well with the Azers, and they are our servants. But we do not want to push them too hard, or else they tend to rebel, and we don't like that.
They burn out.
Oh, yes. good. He opens another set of large stone doors, and you can see that there are three Azers who are hammering away at anvils. They're creating these bronze weapons. You can see that there's a forge in the center of this room. It lights the room with this orange glow, and the rest of the space is filled with wash basins. There's grinding stones, workbenches, other like blacksmith type production stuff. There's weapon racks that have spears and glaives that are carved with these like serpentine glyphs. And then there are two doors that exit down the stairs. As it slithers past, there are three Azers that are overseeing the workshop. Salamanders overseeing the Azers. And the one leading you goes,
a new venture opportunity awaits. To the moon.
leading you down the stairs.
They're all like banana.
There's another set of stone doors down the stairs. And as it leads you through this other room with these carved dwarven pillars. You can see that there are two exits here. One goes into what looks like a break in the tunnel because it's not carved, and the other one is another set of doors. But on the opposite end of the stairs to the south, you can already see this bright orange light coming from a gigantic forge where you can see that this rock that you walked into is actually like a dormant volcano because there is lava that is pooling up and powering their forge. In the corners of these rooms are Azers working, and there's another salamander in here that is overseeing things. But at the center of this room, this salamander ushers you towards a gigantic salamander.
So, great one. I have brought business people here who say they have an opportunity for us. It sounds good. It has grand implications. Listen to them. Tell the great one your idea.
Donnie he's been kind of doing the Fontina jingle the whole time, just because that's how it started when Ridley was giving his pitch. But at this point, he's added a little bardic inspiration into it. to give to Ridley? Because it feels like he's taking the lead with these negotiations.
How could we all get in on this?
I'm feeling great.
I got pretty good persuasion. I can chime in here and there, see if I can help you out.
I can calm emotions if things get crazy.
Plus two to acrobatics. So like, I could probably drop down into turtle pose really quick for him.
I love that that's the one that you flaunt around is your plus.
If you'll follow Glint back to the mating room.
We'll trade you one virgin. His name is Glint.
Glint covers Davy's ears.
He comes with a cool robot. Okay, so greetings. So you may have a name, and I apologize. Everybody's just been calling you Great One, and I was like, first of all, how do I get a nickname like that? Am I right? How should I address you?
My name is Quothis. Can you pronounce this?
Give it to me one more again.
Quothis.
Quothis.
You can also refer to me as Great One.
Quothis, the Great One, it is an honor.
That's what my servants call me.
Noted. It is wonderful to meet you. Quothis, we are here as recruiters, really, but of the highest level talent, not just in this area of the world, but the whole world, potentially the entire plane, for some incredible opportunities to see what exists beyond this world in the realms of space. We are here for. I can't make NASA work with Eberron because it just sounds like EASA.
EASA.
But we are looking for some. We are looking for a strong, driven fire elemental that is willing to take a role that is of high notoriety that would bring a lot of fame, a lot of glory to perhaps a great one that backs this person to propel a voyage to the moon. That, my friend, is why we are here today.
This does sound appealing. One thing is that we have been working here for years and we are almost ready for our project to be finished. And so, can it wait? How about you call me back in a month and then we will discuss again? The end of the quarter is approaching and... You know.
I mean, you gotta meet your deadlines. I understand that.
Quothis, may I approach, Your Honor?
Yes, approach the anvil.
Thank you. By the way, amazing anvil. I can't get over this anvil. I'm gonna have to have you write down where you got this because I think I'm gonna need to pick up one of these. For personal things later. Listen, Quothis, I want to make sure for your own edification, I want to make sure that you understand the opportunity in front of you because when I think about you letting this pass you by, oh, I mean, I get chills. I get chills when I think about you letting this opportunity pass you by. You have the chance to be the one that signed the name on the dotted line to let this elemental... Do the great... I mean, you're practically, if I may be so bold, you're practically the patron of this opportunity. But I think the doors are closing here.
Can Sue just subtly, like, put a hand on Fiddle's back and cast Guidance? It's a cleric thing that I don't do very often.
Yes.
It gives you a D4 that you can use on a ability check.
I love it.
Fiddles.
Talk to me.
Make a persuasion check.
Can do. That is going to be a 2 plus 9, 11, and I think I'm going to, what did you say? What did you say I could add to
add
it?
Add a D4. A D4.
Let's add a 1D4. That is a 3, so that puts us at a total of 14. I may just for funsies hit my inspiration.
Nice.
And take that one more again.
That's literally the lowest you can get because you can't get a 1.
So I think we're going to take that one once more. That's a 6 plus 9, 15. Do I get to use that guidance again on an inspiration roll?
Yeah, so you'll keep that 3.
Okay, perfect. So that's an 18 total.
Does it help anything? I rolled a 19 on my acrobatics, so Glint does drop into the front splits while making eye contact with this big salamander. Does that do anything
Glint
for us?
Glint is back there lip-syncing for his life.
Yeah.
Quoth is
just like, could you make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world? But just like 8 feet back. From like a little head.
Shorty at the hotel, motel, Holiday Inn.
The issue is that I've been working for a year to get my new title, which is the Burner of the Swamps.
Sure.
And, you know, we conquered this whole forge and killed, you know, 30 dwarves.
Sure.
So that we could do that. And so I want this opportunity, but yeah, I'll never get title. And that's a big issue. So,
what if the title you got from being the conqueror of the moon was even better?
I'm also afraid. It seems a little cold up there.
Quavis, don't let fear drive.
You are from a plane that is the purveyor of heat. Maybe you bring warmth to the moon.
I would like everybody in the group to make a perception check.
Dunk.
Okay. Oh, that's bad. 5 plus 3, 8
Oops,
for Sue.
That's a 2 minus 1, a 1 for Fiddles.
There it is. 8 plus 3, 11
3 plus 5, 8
Both of our halflings have found a way to get warmth.
13 plus 4, 17
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly over here.
Ridley, you alone noticed that your tour guide is like assuring to pull you aside.
I go.
Nice. It slithers and is like, excuse me, my lord. I will, I have to have a, this one offered to sell me some weapons of great renown that would bring us glory. And he like slithers over here to like show you that there's like a wall of spears here. And he's like, listen, shelled one.
Bazinga.
I think we are interested in this venture that you have, but we are contractually bound to Quathis. And if you and your friends happen to kill it, then we would absolutely love to join you and say and go to the moon. But but contractually, we will not be able to support you in this fight.
Seems to happen to us a lot.
Yeah. Is there a big ring of mushrooms that we're supposed to fight inside of? What is Quoth's big, like, what is the, he wants to be the burner of the swamps. They're going to use the weapons to do that.
Yeah. You don't know the logistics of it yet, but he seems that his major hang up is that he doesn't want to waste a year of work.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Okay.
He's like in the middle of explaining to the party, like, it is called the truths of the sunk cost, and you mustn't ignore the sunk cost.
Yeah, yes, but your igneousness, what if you could have a lesser first year in exchange for a greater second, third, and fourth year? Would acceptable losses be something you would consider in the meantime?
This is,
I have heard that you have to spend money to make money.
This is all a gamble. It is too much for me.
What if we could put some of your weapons on board, and now we're selling weapons to the moon?
Oh, big market up there.
My primary issue is that I'm just taking your word for it. Do you have other elemental, other beings from the elemental planes who could reference your partnership?
Yeah, absolutely. plenty of them. Of course we do.
Donnie, roll a deception check.
Are you good at that?
We'll see.
It's just, I'm happy to help you.
18 plus 3, 21.
Oh. You're pretty good at that.
He calls in 6 other voices and gives his own references.
Cheddar is just on the phone like, well, yes, I took a job 3 months ago and it's been fantastic.
As a water elemental, there's nothing I could want more from a workplace.
Ridley, back to you. As Quathis seems to nod along with like, oh, well, okay. They have references.
We are elementals, each one of us in here. And while none of us are as great and powerful as our lord over there, we could combine to power this vessel that you speak of. I don't know if you guys were telling the truth, but Quathis has a temper. It is of great renown, and it brings him much glory in our plane. But if he does not like the moon, then there is a chance that he would destroy your ship in midair, and he would be fine. But I imagine that I do not see anyone here who has wings or has propulsion abilities, which might cause issues for you and your friends.
Can I ask a clarifying question as Jordan?
Yes.
Am I to understand that the elemental that's locked up for being a bad boy is just one of these guys, one of these salamanders?
He is an elemental, but you don't know what kind. It was also in a small oven.
Got it.
Okay, so we either need all of the little guys or the one big guy is the gist that I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or can we take this kid that's in timeout? Is he like
that's
a media?
That's what I was thinking.
He's not big enough.
But it sounds like he's not big enough.
Well, we don't know.
I think he's Calcifer.
That's what I want.
Listen, we know you got Billy Crystal in the slammer, Quathis.
group huddle?
Yeah. Yeah. 1 second.
Oh, you are taking a group huddle? We are also going to huddle over here next to the lava puddle.
Yeah, so Ridley says, updates the team, that like the only we could get all of the little guys if we kill Quathis. They're pretty stoked about the moon. But this huddle is making Ridley... The huddle is making me a little nervous because Quathis seems to be pretty sharp. I don't think that they're going to help us kill their leader, but if we can make it, we can, I think, maybe get enough. Or we could just keep trying to roll until somebody gets like a 27 on Quathis and we finally unlock the ability to just take him and go.
I mean, I don't want to risk Blendo's home if... Our sweet little Quathis doesn't like the moon.
We think we're going to need all of these elementals to come with us. I didn't picture that when Linda was needing help. We're going to walk in with eight.
I think it's a pretty big ship. And so we need lots of power to get there.
This is why we should do boats. Has Ridley ever been on an airship that... is of similar size as a businessman in Eberron to know how many elementals like what's the horsepower on one of these puppies?
So one like the Harbinger of Prophets would need probably four the size of Quathis. If Blendo thought that an elemental this size could power his, then these small ones would surely be able to.
But we'll need them all.
But combined.
Combined,
right?
Yeah, not independently.
I think we're going to have to kill this big fire guy.
That feels right.
Do we want to casually sort of spread out a little bit?
Donnie steps up first and he walks over. He's like, Quathis, listen, man. We talked it over and we put ourselves in your embers and... We thought, you know, if we were you, we'd probably want the same thing. So here's the deal, man. We're just going to give you let you have the month and do what you want. You can reach back out to us about the moon stuff later if you want. And Donnie goes to shake his hand and
he's got a buzzer.
Goes ahead and like, for the sake of safety, like lights up his hand with fireball. It's a cantrip. So just kind of lights it up. Just like a show him like, hey, you know, I get it. You know, but bygones be bygones, but hey, it was a pleasure doing business with you. And he's like, just goes to shake his hand.
Okay. Quathis like extends his thumb and his pointer finger and like shakes your hand. You know, your hand is the size of like his fingernail.
Terrifying.
Can I bestow a curse?
Okay. Here's how this would work. Because spells are loud, like you are having to sing as you.
Oh,
are.
Yeah.
So.
Sure.
You can roll a deception check with disadvantage because you're in a room that would echo all of the sound that you're making.
Oh, boy. It would be a big fight if Donnie just didn't screw it. Well, I bet I don't get that one, but that was my first roll.
You don't have to bestow course, but that is a...
Okay, so my first roll was a crit.
Oh.
But ooh. That's unfortunate. So we'll do it again. Oh, my God. And a six with a second.
Can he use my inspiration?
He cannot, no. But as he sees you, like... I like to think that as you're trying to cast Bestow Curse, like necrotic magic is sort of like coalescing towards you. And Quathiz is like, mm-hmm. You would betray a handshake agreement in my own conquered forge?
Fiddles whispers to Glint and Sue like over his right shoulder and goes, we gotta stop letting Donnie be the one to go get next to these guys.
There are three paths presented to you.
Dice Tower Theater presents Dawn of Dragons, a fantasy audio drama.
Ambush!
For all intents, I should have you exiled.
Time to wait.
The Sunless.
Down.
Our young heroes, bound by love and kinship, are forced on a quest to discover the truth behind the magic of dragons and seek those that stole it before their world itself is destroyed by the growing power of the Dark Army.
Come with us. Don't just wait here for death.
I won't lose you, my friend.
Take us below them.
Hold on.
You better answer me.
What was your name again?
The Blue Flame has the great risk, correct?
Are you sure, Sophie? I foresee a path you can understand, let alone tread. But you will have to walk yourself.
I am no stranger to being alone. I know it better than anything else.
Dice Tower Theater, a good ham production, wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Wake and remember the first thing you sense. As your first clue.
This is Vince. Hope you're enjoying this episode of Imagine Dungeons. Hey, real fast, I've got two quick requests for you. If you have enjoyed what you're listening to, first, I'd love it if you would just leave a rating and a review right in the platform that you're on. That could be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, whatever it is you're using, just a quick rate and review right there. The second thing that you could do is tell someone that you love, shoot, even someone that you like about the show. Great people surround themselves with great people. And we know you have great taste in shows. You probably have great taste in human beings that would love to hear it too. That would mean the world to us. Thanks so much for listening. Okay, let's go back to the show.
We are going to roll for initiative here.
Ooh, doggy.
Let's go.
Ooh, baby.
Damn.
Add a one to that from my sword being steam form. That is a 27 initiative. That's a, wow. A nat 20 plus 6 plus an additional one.
18 plus 2, 20. A 20 that spits in the face of God the Creator.
13 plus 0, 13.
10 plus 1, 11.
12 plus 0, 12.
Gage, before we get this fight started, have I spent enough nights studying my logic book to permanently increase my intelligence?
Because last night you didn't get a full rest, you will not.
You keep making all these rules where I can't get any smarter, and I hate playing such an idiot, dude.
Need to sleep more, I guess. The party will go first, followed by Quathiz, the giant fire elemental. Before Fiddles goes, I would like everyone to roll a perception check as you see Quathiz stand all the way upright and the fire erupts from his body.
That's a 4 minus 1 for a 3 from old Fiddles.
17 plus 3, 17. A lady's 20.
Ooh.
A lady's 20.
17 plus 3, a lady's 20.
Yes.
How my lady's doing
six
tonight?
6 plus 4 for 10.
6 plus 5, 11.
All right. Sue and Glint. As Quoth's ignites and you see this fire alight each corner of the room, you see that, one, he's standing in this pool of lava, which is significant. And then you notice that on this forge, under a glass case that's locked, so you can see through it, you notice that there is a contract on the other side. That being said, Fiddles, what would you like to do?
Can you highlight that contract for me, please? And, oh, I didn't notice it, so it doesn't even matter. I don't even know it's there.
Wait, I noticed it. Can I read it, or will that have to be something I do on my turn?
On your turn. You just noticed it now.
Can I memorize it?
You also have 6 seconds on your turn, so...
If I was only smart enough, if only I could have some extra intelligence for my logic book.
At the beginning of... my turn. Fiddles is going to draw the Sword of Transmutation in its super cool steampunk form and is going to dash at a dead sprint straight for Quoth's, and is going to stab Quoth's with the intention to cast Booming Blade as the stab lands.
You're going to need to dash to get there as he is 50 feet away.
Fiddles puts his sword back into its scabbard and draws his bow. yeah, I'm going to shoot him. I'm going to shoot this big dumb idiot.
All right. Roll the hit.
Believe that'll do. That's a 5 plus 6. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, 5 plus 6. 11.
As the arrow gets close to it, it incinerates. Doesn't even make it to its body.
Yeah, should have seen that one coming. So Fiddles is going to sort of dejectedly lower the bow and yell out to everybody, maybe no wood, maybe not wood. And then Fiddles is going to rotate in a clockwise direction and head. Is this about 25 feet?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, perfect. So Fiddles is going to take off in a clockwise direction and put... what I can only assume is a pillar in between and Quoth's.
Yep, that's a pillar. Anything else?
Just sadness. Just sadness at not thinking about a wooden arrow.
On initiative count 20, you see that all the other denizens in this room, the salamanders and the azers, are going to all sort of move towards the edges of the room as they seem to be uninterested in or unable to participate in this fight.
Love it.
Glint, you're up.
Explain to me, will it cost like an action or bonus action to like take a peep at this contract?
Since you are doing specific focused reading, you can use a bonus action to roll an investigation check.
Okay. My next question is similar, and it is this. Is the lava that Quoth's is standing on like feeding his... He's on fire, right? Like, he has fire on him. Is the lava, like, feeding that fire?
Roll an arcana check. You can use your object interaction for that.
12. 6 plus 6.
He is a normal fire elemental, so you would imagine he's on fire regardless.
Okay.
And so, you know, probably. It's probably helpful to get a little boost.
Okay. I do have wind powers. Can I blow his fire out? Can I extinguish him like a big dumb candle?
You can try.
Okay. Clint's going to push my glasses up the bridge of my nose. When they make contact with the space between my eyes, burst of electricity shoots out. Glint actually starts to float, maybe like an inch or so off the ground. Glint's entered storm form with the help of the Stormcaller glasses. So that means that all of my attacks do an additional 1d4 lightning damage. And then Glint is going to raise his right hand and his dragon mark on the back of his hand starts to glow with that same light that you've seen before. His eyes light up and shoot through his glasses with those kind of headlight effects. But then Glint also raises his other hand. Glint's got two hands extended toward Quathis now, and he's going to use his dragon mark to cast Gust of Wind as a second level spell, which means that a line of strong wind 60 feet long and 10 feet wide blasts from me in a direction I choose for the spell's duration, which is up to a minute as long as I'm concentrating on it. Any creature in the line must spend 2 feet of movement for every 1 foot it moves moving towards me, and the gust disperses gas or vapor and extinguishes candles, torches, and similar unprotected flames in the area. So it looks like it's just a strength save. So he's got to beat an 11, yeah?
Okay, on his turn, he will start by making the strength save.
Perfect.
Anything else? You enter storm form. Are you going to move?
No, I'm not going to. I'm going to stay right here by this anvil, by this contract.
Okay, Sue, you're up.
All right. So I think Sue is, having seen that the persuasion from good old Ridley did not do what we were hoping, Sue is going to just start calling up all of their weapons. So she is going to cast Spiritual Weapon as a third level spell. Nope, I lied. That's the wrong one. Spirit Guardians as a third level spell. There we go. And then Spiritual Weapon as a second level spell. So that's my action and my bonus action.
You can only cast.
Oh, one leveled spell. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll start with Spirit Guardians.
Okay.
Let's start action. Those bad boys.
That's a 15-foot radius, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. You see that these floating tools from around the room start, magnetize towards you and start getting enveloped in this yellowish light. Would you like to do anything with your bonus action or move?
I do think that Sue is going to start moving as far as she can towards the big bad Quathis.
Okay. You can get a little bit closer if you want to.
Ooh, can I jump over the anvil and make an athletics check or something fun?
Yeah.
Sure, go for it.
Yeah. Okay, let's do that.
Please slide over it like the hood of a car.
Yeah.
Acrobatics or athletics, either is fine with me.
Athletics is better. Let's do that one. Was it 13 plus 2? 15 for Ooh. Sue?
Absolutely.
Heck yes.
How do you land?
Two feet on the ground, one hand, and then the other hand out Superhero with her pose. Little meat cleaver blade pose or something. Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
The ground cracks a little bit when you land.
Yeah.
Ridley, you're up.
All right. So everybody is so... This is such a big room. It's like a Nier Automata room. He is going to run to Quathis. And he's going to spend all of his movement running 30 feet. So that's about here?
Here. You're close enough to where your 10-foot reach weapon, your glaive, would be able to hit it.
Okay, so then as his first action on that run, Ridley is going to pull his glaive from his shell and just drawing a hand over the blade. It's going to start to frost, and there's a little bit of snowfall from that as he casts Elemental Weapon. As the mist gathers, it freezes and it'll do ice damage as a magical weapon. And then for his second attack, we'll just swing the ice glaive at Quathis.
So as a reminder, the way that your actions work is you can either attack twice
or you can cast a spell. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so then that's what I thought. So then I'm just setting up for the next time.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, everything's set up. Thank you.
Donnie, at the beginning of your turn, you feel the back of your head get blasted by a lot of wind, so you need to make a strength save.
Sorry, cowboy.
Sorry, cowboy.
Oh, no. 7 plus 2, 9.
Okay. So, Donnie, you get blasted, caught off guard by this gust of wind. You go flying 15 feet.
What does this mean? I'm in him?
Did you land on his shoulders?
You happen to land on his knee, where you're able to grab on. However, because it is a fire elemental and because it is not quite substantial, you're going to take a D6 of fire damage. which is a 6.
Come on.
I bet it is.
You don't get good rolls. That's not allowed.
You have to have disadvantage.
We're supposed to win.
Donnie, you are on Quathus's knee. What would you like to do?
As many times in his life, he has been close enough to fire to feel like he's been on Quathus's knee. So he might be a little bit familiar here. And I'm guessing as he like maybe turns over, I imagine he's like flat on his face because he was facing Quathus. He turns over on his back and starts to grab at his whip. And as he's doing that, just kind of casually starts to whistle something that maybe Quathus doesn't know, but the right people would. That is, I imagine, like, if you've ever seen The Wire, it's like when Omar starts whistling A Hunting We Will Go. And everybody just goes in their house and locks the door and wants nothing to do with it. And he looks up at Quathus and whistles something. And I'll do the tune because the mic doesn't pick it up. But those, you'll know what to do here. But it's kind of like a... He does this whistle and looks up at him, and the trigger after the whistle to antagonize is cracking his whip. And he just flips it backwards as he's laying on the knee of Quathus right at his face and cracks it and casts antagonize on this creature. And you have to do a wisdom saving throw of 13.
It fails.
Great. Oh, so you'll take, I'll do 4d4 then of psychic damage. That's first. Could have been better. It ends up being 8. So you take 8 psychic damage.
Okay.
And then what happens next? So this is the first time Donnie, for this campaign, has done antagonized. So on a failed save, you take that psychic damage, and you have to immediately use your reaction to make a melee attack against another creature of my choice that I can see. And so I would say the attack that I would love for you to do is use all your big energy and come get the Azer on the side.
Quathus, being antagonized, sees its servants, and you can see this anger as it heats up a little bit and reaches down into the lava and pulls out a smoldering boulder that he tosses fastball style at this Azer. A 26 to hit.
This is like 60 feet away, right?
What?
Yes, it can throw very far.
Great.
I guess so technically it has disadvantage since you're within 5 feet. Doesn't matter. Second roll is better.
Better. Cool. That's great.
That's a big plus to hit.
It's been really fun to play with you guys.
It does 24 damage to this Azer.
Oh, my.
We're dead.
No.
Cut in half because it is resistant to fire damage. It might be immune.
Oh, I thought you said the Azer got cut in half.
By a boulder.
Okay, it does bludgeoning damage, so it doesn't count. Yeah.
I would like to bonus action off of this dude's knee, by the way, if that's okay.
Yeah,
I could just...
Wait, doesn't he have disadvantage if you stay within 5 feet of him, though?
Yeah, his other role is
if
better.
If you want me to stay here
Dangle.
On his knee for his next turn...
You look down as you are whistling and cracking your whip, and you see that under Quathus's knee is a river of lava that is bubbling and burbling. I'll say you can use your bonus action to hop off onto the grate, and since it's already used its reaction, you'll have your full movement to move away. And it can't attack you.
Nice.
All right. On Quathus's turn, it needs to make a strength save. Passes with a 19. And then turning towards Ridley, you see it extend its hand and the fire streams up from the lava up its legs and coalesces in his hand, forming a sword that he swings at Ridley.
Oh my.
Bye, bye, little Ridley.
And that is going to be a 24 to hit.
Yeah, so that's just going to graze me.
That does 15 fire damage.
Sue wants to use one of her soothe pains to reduce the damage by 1d10 plus 3.
Ooh,
Is he within 30 feet of me? We're close together, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's 9 plus 3 reduced by 12.
Oh my gosh. Ooh.
Sue, I think, just sends out one of the flying weapons and takes some of that hit.
Wow. Yeah, it parries it pretty well, but some of the shockwave from it seems to splash some fire onto Ridley.
I think Ridley looks at Sue like wide eyes. Like everything is happening so fast. Fire sword conjured and just this amazing deflection of just... Oh.
If she had a hat, I feel like she would tip it, but yes. She does not.
You could tip an invisible hat. That's cool, too.
Fiddles, you're up.
Plan B sucked. Back to plan A. Fiddles draws the sword of transmutation, dashes to use all of his movement, and takes off at a dead sprint directly up to Quathis. That's about 50 feet, we would say, right? 25 plus 25 right there. And upon drawing near, stabs the sword directly into Quathis's side with intention to cast Booming Blade, of course. Oh, come on, man. So that's an 11 to hit.
Yeah, that's not going to do it.
And then upon getting too close, trips, falls, and dies? No, I think probably getting used to the new steam form of this sword and trying to make it stab into fire is difficult. So I'm just going to say that it's almost a magnetic repulsion kind of a vibe with the heat and the steam.
Mm. Okay, then Glint, you're up.
Glint's maintaining concentration on this line of wind. I'm going to keep that up, blowing at Quathis. But for my attack this turn, I think I'm going to motion to Davy. Got both my hands up and be like, Davy, my bag, my satchel. And I'm going to have Davy open the bag and pass me an Arcano Core. So I got both hands up. I'm going to grab that from him, and I'm just going to kind of let it go in this gust of wind and blow it straight at Quathis.
Oh, that's yes.
Cool. Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's cool. You can have advantage to hit on this one.
Well, good, because that first one was a 13, so let's see if we can do any better than that. 16.
A 16 hits.
Excellent. So we'll do a 2d8, so that's 5.
So you got a 2 and a 3, and then you add your damage from Stormform. Oh, and you add a d6 of damage here.
That is a 1, so all total damage would be a 5 and a 4 and a 1, so 10 total damage.
One,
and then I need to tell you
of your Arcano kind of cores does cold damage, and so it does a little bit more than it typically would. So that goes up to 12.
Nice,
yeah,
excellent.
Pretty bloody, huh? I quaffed this.
Is 23 health?
No, I'm feeling Glass good.
Dies. Anything else?
I don't believe so. I think I want to stay here and maintain. Oh, can I take a bonus action to check out this contract?
Sure can. Roll me an investigation check.
16 plus 6, 22.
Mm, good. Okay, so you see that basically it's a contract about from a fire genie in a Freety. There's two levels of contractually bound people. The fire elementals, so the salamanders, are first bound to this fire genie to essentially claim a part of land for its cause. The second layer of contract is from the Azers to the salamanders, basically to do whatever they command them to do. Because you rolled so high, you would know that this contract is what basically keeps everybody in line. So were it to be destroyed, some of these servants might begin their full-on rebellion.
Excellent. Guys, the contract is keeping them in line. They love rules. If we rip up their rules, they'll forget they existed and they might help us.
To the moon.
All right.
I would imagine you guys can't hear anything Glint is saying because it's just immediately lost in the wind.
Wind tunnel. All right. Sue, you're up.
I'm going to cast Spiritual Weapon. Just get all of the sharp things flying. At second level, I think this is the only one I can cast at. And then with my action, I'm going to move close and then try and attack. So I want to be within 15 feet, but out of the wind.
Okay, first, let's get a attack with Spiritual Weapon.
It's a 9 plus 6, 15 to hit.
15 does not hit.
That's okay. It's okay. And then I will go in with my meat tenderizer.
First, it needs to make a save against these this spirit guardians who are beginning to manifest hands on the weapons that are flying through the air.
Ooh.
So that's a 14 wisdom. It fails.
Yeah.
And so you can roll 3d8.
1, 2, 3. That is 8 plus 4 plus 2, 14 damage.
Great hit. And then if you're getting within 5 feet, you made that mace attack, you can roll for damage because that hits.
Yes, so I rolled a 19 to hit with my meat tenderizer. And then let's roll damage on that too. Oh, that was a very bad damage roll. That was a 1 plus 2, 3.
All right. So you're
got him, dude.
Close but outside of this wind tunnel?
Yes.
Okay. All right, then Ridley, you are up.
Well, now I'm thinking that I'm supposed to be cutting this paper.
Well, your glaive is coated with some rhyme.
But what about reason?
And reason.
Come on. Come on.
Too easy, dude.
It's the name of your trident.
Oh my gosh. His weapons are named rhyme and reason.
That's extremely powerful.
That's so metal. That's very sick.
I think it's like they're actually called like 0% APR. And
dude, I was going to say that. Like, boat month.
Yes.
Like, $0
APR and trade in value.
The fourth is what they're called.
Yeah, it's the four squares of that like finance thing they show you at a car dealership. Yeah, yeah, there's two weapons you guys haven't seen yet.
Total money makeover and
can I run in front of Quathis without taking an opportunity attack? Like if I stay close to him?
Yes, but you will have to save against this gust of wind.
Yeah. I mean, that's right. Okay, then I'm going to cut him here with the old ice glaive. Ooh.
Why is 13 won't
hit. But you have inspiration, or bardic inspiration.
You do have bardic inspiration if you want to use it.
Is that a d6 or a d4?
I believe right now it's a d6. Eight. Oh, it's a d8. Nice. That's good.
I will take that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That additional hits.
5. It's an 18. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Carter, do you want to roll for your moat damage?
Yeah. Well, it would be equal to what's on the Bardic Inspiration die.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
5.
So 5, cool. And yeah. This thunder damage, right?
Yeah. And on the attack roll, this would be the War Gong.
Mm. Ridley, you swing with your glaive, and it seems to stick into this like lava that seems to encompass its being. And then you see the War Gong fly in and just hammer it into Quathis.
So cool.
Amazing. The damage was 10 slashing damage and then 2 ice damage.
Yep,
and then boosted. 5 gong damage.
Yeah, so that 2 from the ice is boosted to 4 since it's vulnerable to frost.
19.
So 14. That will do 19 total damage.
Great, I'm going to do it again. Swing again. Nope, I'm going to use my inspiration.
What was that first roll?
That was a 9. And with an inspiration, it's an 18 again.
18 hits.
Ooh.
So that's 7 slashing damage and 4 ice damage.
Yeah.
It cuts again.
67 total.
As a bonus action, I would like to smite.
No bonus action needed. It's free.
Yeah, that was worth it. An additional 3 damage, Quathis.
Yeah, dude.
You know he got.
You target that same spot that you hit thanks to the War Gong last time, and it sinks deeper into its side. Anything else? Movement or anything?
I think I'm going to hang and keep trying to. This feels like that big crack in the Elden Beast.
All right, Donnie, you're up.
You said this contract's under glass?
Yep. It's on the anvil.
There's a little smear on the glass now because Sue's like butt went over it. It's very funny. Sweaty down here.
The anvil has a large hammer on it that looks almost like a gavel, like it's used to make decisions for this group of people.
Yeah, I'm surprised that like the heat, do you think if things got hot enough that the glass would melt or break?
They probably got good glass.
I want to shoot magic. A firebolt at this glass.
It's probably Pyrex.
Let's make him angry.
Hey, Carter, you should make a nature or arcana check before you do that.
Okay.
As a reaction.
This place Thank is you. Super hot. Let's try and break the glass with a little bit of heat.
I don't know.
Wait, you well, got to put it 20. The opposite, it's right?
Tell me exactly why that's a bad idea, Gage. Glass. That's a 19 plus 1.
Take the hot glass and put it on a cold surface. That's how you shatter your Pyrex.
Seeing that this is a contract from the elemental plane of fire, you would assume that it is specifically immune to fire.
That's funny. I figured the whole place was. Yeah. Makes sense.
But how come when my coffee pot is on the burner empty, explode?
Who made the contract? That's funny. That's true.
Are you shouting this to Glint?
Glint, who wrote that contract? Where'd we get that from? What's the copyright on there?
It, copyright, whatever year this is, it's fire elementals. They're bound to a fire genie. And then the other guys are bound to the salamanders. I don't really have time to process this. I think we should just destroy it.
Oh, man. How badly Donnie just wants to know enough to pull a contract out of his pocket right now that says otherwise.
All right, you baking Texas Honda Civic asphalt no good looking mother trucking. I've been burned more by hot pizza out the microwave for 90 seconds. I do vicious mockery at the...
You just hear Glint over the really loud wind be like, wait, what's a microwave?
Donnie, as you cast Vicious Mockery, the Dreamweaver Quill seems to respond. It flies out of your pocket and writes into the air. You see like a fiery ink in midair writing your insult. Mm-hmm. And your Vicious Mockery seems to be a little bit stronger. What this would previously do is a 2d4 damage, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, psychic damage. Huh?
That goes up to 2d6.
What you say?
And it has disadvantage on its saving throw.
Stop.
So, what kind of saving throw do we got here? Is it wisdom?
13, yeah, wisdom.
It fails. So you can roll 2d6.
Ooh! That's 11.
Dang, that is a great one. As your Dreamweaver Quill has effectively leveled up, I would like you to describe its normal powers as they go into effect with this.
Like how it's been used before?
Mm-hmm. You basically get a free use out of this without an action or anything.
Oh amazing. Yeah, it feels like there's a thick line, but taut, from above his head to just below his knee, as if something's being plucked, and then 2 to 3, 4 now other manifest, and it's this huge upright base that he is looking like he's plucking this tune, like this low thrum of battle that Donnie's already kind of been playing. You might notice it's maybe at the same pace as the Fontina Marina jingle. And those that are already bought into the moon are dancing. And I think with the Vicious Mockery, maybe our big boss is a little bit embarrassed because he's never known to be able to play this. Not even sure what this instrument is. But I think that thing is just like... just like the whole... And it just looks like he's like flipping it. He's flipping it around, tapping the back, all sorts of stuff. And everybody around is just kind of like, if they were close enough, they'd be dancing together and like swinging and like putting hand out. And like a little bit of, it's like a Chips Ahoy commercial in here from the early 2000s.
Sue is definitely vibing.
Yeah.
Doing a little sway.
So with that, this giant salamander here has disadvantage on his next attack. And is effectively bloodied as you see it grip its head. Donnie, do you want to use a bonus action or move?
Yes. Donnie is going to, with that, like Donnie starts like, he's going to do a bardic inspiration for Sue. And he starts just naming like the, it's kind of like the I've been everywhere, man, like the Minnesota, but he's just saying like ingredients.
Yeah.
Like nacho cheese, tomato, tomato, marinara, jalapeno, like saying jalapeno, jalapeno, and just like saying all this kind of stuff. Like just like in bardically inspiring his good friend.
Yes.
Who he can
Donnie,
see.
You always know how to get my feet tapping. Let's go.
All right. When it becomes Quathus' turn, he first needs to make a save and fails against the Spirit Guardians.
He's going to roll that
3d8 again.
He needs to make a save against the Wind Tunnel as well.
One, two, three.
It fails against the Wind Tunnel, too.
That is a 7 plus 1 plus 4, 12 damage from the flying knives.
Okay, and then it flies back 15 feet deeper into this lava. It seems to be stuck a little bit as the forge narrows as it gets closer to the wall. As this bloodied giant elemental screams, hearing this insult, in my own home,
to my own friends,
you see it throw the sword down into the lava. Uh-oh. And reaches back towards his head where these like tentacles form this what looks like hair, like he's Super Saiyan 3 or something. He pulls out like a chunk of his hair and cracks it like a whip.
Oh, please.
No.
Balrog.
So he's going to swing that at Fiddles and Ridley, who are both in range.
That's a mistake.
A 14 at Fiddles. Does that hit?
Oops, that's going to miss.
All right.
I can't tell when it's Jordan and when it's Fiddle.
This is a crit, y'all.
I have a total of 30 that is not a crit at Ridley.
So, yeah, thanks for asking. Let me check. Hold on, let me check a few things. Yes, of course. It hits me in my soul.
His mom somewhere.
It hits Genbu's in there like, whoa.
Okay.
We just got knocked loose.
That's going to do 26 fire damage to you, Ridley.
Sue would like to soothe some pain again and try and block a little bit of that. That's a terrifying number. So this time, let's say it's the spiritual weapon. So it's her meat cleaver. That is 7 plus 3 reduced by 10.
Okay. That's a nice thing to have.
16.
16. Do we announce when characters are bloodied?
You can if you want to, but Ridley having these singe marks all over you, as Quathis then reaches into the fire and puts into the lava below him, and he puts a fiery boulder on this grate that you guys are standing on, and the boulder, you see like a fiery arm pop through. And then the boulder shifts into forming a smaller fire mantle that looks like a little Quathis Jr.
Aww.
Congratulations, I guess, Quathis.
That is Quathis' turn. Fiddles, you are up.
Can little fire elemental make reactions yet?
Yes.
Even though he just got here?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of seems convenient.
Does he have object permanence?
Magic, dude.
Seems pretty convenient.
Can he do like the floss dance?
Okay, fine. Fiddles is going to...
He's watching Subway Surfers videos right now on his phone.
He's like, oh, am I here? Fiddles is going to firmly plant his feet and with a broad swing straight to go from collarbone to hip on this little elemental using a steady aim for advantage on the roll.
Finish.
Mm, nice. Roll the hit.
Come on, Fiddy.
13 plus 7 Ooh. For a 20.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. That hits.
Great. Ooh. So because of rolling with advantage, that's also going to be sneak attack damage on the hit. So we'll go ahead and roll that. That is a grand total of 20 damage, and then also an additional 1d8 because it's a fire elemental and my sword is steaming.
Come on now.
Oh.
Mm-mm. That is a one, but that should be a two, right?
It'll be a two. So.
And then we're also going to do an additional 1d8 with Booming Blade.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh, Booming Blade is a good one. Okay.
And that is a five.
Okay. Good turn. Glint, you're up.
Do I get the sense that I can do anything to damage this glass? Like, how fortified does this contract look?
I mean, if you have something that could break through glass, you could do that. It depends what you're trying. I mean, if you used a hammer, it'd be easy to break it without damaging the contract. If you used, like, an arcanocore, you might accidentally or on purposely do so much damage that it destroys the contract as well.
Yeah, I'm trying to damage the contract. I'm trying to destroy this contract and get all these little guys to help us fight the big guy.
Yeah, that might work then.
Because the one who had a boulder thrown at him, he's not motivated just yet.
He probably had a good reason. I don't know. It's a good job.
It's got great benefits.
We get every national holiday.
Dental is actually pretty good.
Fire teeth are expensive to take care of, and he's done a good job.
Fire teeth.
A dental elemental is really, really a good dental coverage.
Oh, yeah.
You know how hard it is to find good dentists? They're all jerks. It's a weird subculture.
He keeps telling me I have cavities, but I've been burning all the bacteria off my teeth.
I'm going to leave this, just kind of cautiously test and pull my hands down. And when I do that, I notice that the wind keeps going as long as I just maintain a mental concentration on the wind. Can I lift this hammer?
Ooh.
I'm not strong.
Well, you can try, but it is heavy enough that you'll need to make a check for it.
Does this count as my action?
To pick it up, no. But to try to break the glass, yes.
That is... one minus one, zero.
Do you want to describe that one?
Yeah. Yeah. Glint's got both hands up on the wind, and he just puts one hand down and reaches over, tries like stretch really far to reach the handle of the hammer.
Oh my goodness.
And just tries to lift it and just shakes his head. Like, nope. And puts his other hand back up.
Sprains his wrist.
You look over.
I take damage.
There's a salamander against the wall over here. And it's like grimacing. Like, it's a little embarrassing.
I'm strong in other ways that you can't measure in the physical realm.
That's right.
Let's see. I think I'm going to then, I'm going to draw a Hailfang. I'm going to swing my sword at this glass to see if I can shatter it.
Okay. Roll to hit.
11.
That's not going to do it.
Okay.
Do you have another attack though?
Let's give it another shot. Swing Hailfang again.
Just dinks the first time.
17.
There it is. Yeah. You make a crack with the first one. The second one, you smash through.
And the contract burns up because the air is so hot in here, right?
It does not, no.
Is picking up and ripping this contract, is that an attack?
You already use your object interaction, but you have a bonus action. So I will say you could use your bonus action to destroy it.
I'm going to use my bonus action to cast Shocking Grasp on this contract and just try and zap it out of existence like when a bug hits a bug zapper.
Yes.
And that does it. The contract just goes up in flames.
You're free, all of you. You're free. I know you hate it here. You can help us. You can make your life better. Please?
Give us it to the moon, Ridley.
You see them... the Aesirs look at each other and
it appears it is finally time for our appointed destiny.